Bear with me in my chest cold and coughs. We'll try to not cough too hard into the microphone. I grew up occasionally hearing the statement, laughter is the best medicine. And I've always loved a good joke, a good laugh, something that cracks me up. When do you remember the last time you really broke out into laughing out loud? And for the record, for those of you who wonder what the name of the sermon means, LOL is social media and Twitter and texting shorthand for laugh out loud. It's the way you let folks know that whatever they said made you laugh out loud. Do you remember the last time you broke out into that kind of laughter? It feels good. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. I love a good laugh. I love something that cracks me up, a situation, a joke, something funny. And I'm really too old to use the initials LOL when I'm texting. But there's something wonderful about those kinds of moments. Most of the time. In our two readings today, we see Abraham and Sarah laughing. But their laughter is less a laughter of pure joy and excitement and more of a laugh filled with sarcasm and question and a little bit of doubt. And we understand probably why they would feel the way they were feeling. You remember the story of Abraham and Sarah. They're minding their own business. Actually, when God comes to them, he was Abram at the time, tells him to pack up and move to a land. I'll show you when you get there. Where? I'll show you later. And I'm going to make you into a great nation, but we don't have any kids. Don't worry, I'll take care of it. He was 75 or so when that first promise came, and a little later the promise came again. And he said, but we still don't have any children. God said, that's okay. I'll take care of it. Over time, years were passing. They began to wonder. They began to try to fix the situation themselves, decided for Abraham to have a son with their servant Hagar, and so he had a son named Ishmael. And they thought, well, maybe Ishmael's the one to fulfill the promise of God. And then God comes back again. By this time, Abraham, and he is renamed Abraham in the first passage we read, 99 years old. Sarah's pushing 90. And God comes and promises a son. But God, we've got Ishmael. Just do what you got. You know, use Ishmael. And God says, promises again, I will give you a son. And Abraham laughed. Now I wonder, what would we have done? 20-something years have passed since this promise first came. That's a long time to wait on a promise. And he's heard this several times, and nothing's happened. He packed up and moved, and still, part of this promise just hasn't been fulfilled yet. And in that laughter, we hear some of the pain, the struggle, the heartbreak. Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Isn't it a little late to be starting a family? Just put your blessing on Ishmael. A little later, we see a similar reaction from Sarah. The Lord comes to Abraham. Although Abraham sees three visitors, he acts with great hospitality, and one of them says to them, promises, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah's listening in the tent, and she just can't hold it together. She laughs to herself. This does not make sense. Can you imagine going to the next senior adult event And one of the couples says, guess what? We needed some more children in the nursery. We're doing our part. Volunteers? Sarah laughs to herself. I'm past those days. Now understand, it's been a rough journey. In that day, your success as a woman was producing a male heir for your husband. To not have children was seen as somehow failing God, somehow brought a stigma on your family. Not only the lack of what you wanted, but the way it made you stand out in society was seen as very negative. Laughing. Laughing out loud by Abraham, laughing to herself by Sarah, maybe even a little bit in this case of laughing at God. Doubting. Not having quite the ability to make sense of something that makes no sense. We probably all understand what Sarah and Abraham were feeling. We all know the times when circumstances don't seem to be working out the way we think they should. There are times when bad things are happening and we wonder if God really is still in control. Questions come to our mind and we worry about folks we care about. And as Sarah laughed to herself, the Lord said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Now, I don't know what your current relationship with God is. I don't know how close you are in your prayer life and study of Scripture and your worship. But I suspect most of us, if I were to ask the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? No, the answer is, of course not. But we all have those moments in our lives where we wonder, can God really fix this? Can God rebuild that which is broken? Could God bring home the prodigal child that I'm worried about? Can God heal a relationship that seems beyond repair? There are times when we wonder if some things might not be fixable even by God. And in those moments, when someone comes with the platitude or the answer, we may be tempted to laugh in our hearts like Sarah did. Can we believe God can bring hope in our brokenness? Can we believe in times of struggle that God can bring new beginnings? Can we believe that for our church, even in tougher times, that God's not done and that God can bring sparks of life? We know the Bible promises that God never leaves us. But sometimes we feel awfully alone. We fall into our ruts. We go through the motions. We believe in our heads, but we just lack the life that we see promised in Scripture. We wander into worship, but don't really expect to encounter a living God who can change our lives. But Sarah and Abraham remind us that God can and does do that which we cannot conceive. Turning the world upside down, new possibilities, new power. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham and Sarah found out that nothing was beyond God's possibilities. Now, I'm trying to imagine how this unfolded. Sarah, approaching 90, wakes up these several mornings feeling the normal aches of 90 years of tough life. And then she begins to have several mornings in a row of feeling nauseated. And then she's craving salty Judean pickles. And then as she's trying to make sense of what's going on and why she feels funny and why she never felt like this before, it might begin to dawn on her. something strange is happening. God's kept his promise. God is being faithful. And though she and Abraham are going to be the talk of the barbershop and the beauty parlor, God has kept God's promise. She's going to have a son. And God is still at work. Sometimes I think we all look back at the passages of Scripture and wonder if God still works. We see the miracles, but we wonder sometimes these days. And yet, when we look into our lives and we listen to the lives of our friends and family, and when we pay attention, we find over and over again stories that show God is at work. God brings hope. God offers new beginnings. The prodigal child who left for the far country can come home. The long-term marriage that seems to be a struggle can find new spark. Closed doors that put an end to what we thought was our dream can become open doors to new possibilities. The addict can find a fresh beginning. The pain and grief of losing somebody important to us can be an opportunity to discover that God is our shepherd even in the valley of the shadow of death. And even amidst our struggles and our pain, we can discover that the God who worked in the life of Sarah and Abraham is still at work. And we can join in the laughter of a 90-year-old woman who finally gets to hear Mama. God is still working. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's a message that shows up several places. The same basic statement shows up in Luke 1, another childbirth story. Instead of a nearly 90-year-old, this is a young peasant girl and a virgin who's told, "You're going to give birth." And she says, "How can that happen to me? I'm a virgin." And Luke tells us, the angel says, nothing is impossible with God. In Mark 10, Jesus himself says, for mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. God is still in the business of inviting us to believe and expect and look for God's new possibilities and God's new work when we're tempted to give up. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is living with expectancy and knowing God's never finished, even when we're tempted to think we've hit an end of a road. Faith looks for God to work and believes that God is going to work. Not always in the way we hope for, not always in the way we're expecting, but always in a way that shows God's goodness. Faith calls us to live with a different perspective. Faith might involve joining AARP and moving into a good school district. It might mean believing that a church can be a source of God's light and power even when we wonder. It believes that God will open the door when we don't see anything coming open in these moments. Faith invites us to live with an expectation that God's not finished and to know that God can work. A boy and his dad were walking along and came to a good-sized stone beside the road, and the boy stopped and looked at it, and he said, "Dad, do you think if I use all my strength, I can roll that stone over?" His dad said, "I think if you use all your strength, you can." So the boy got down, and he pushed, and he pushed, and he pushed, and nothing moved. He said, "You were wrong, Dad. I can't move it." The dad looked back at him and said, but you didn't use all your strength. What do you mean, Dad? And he said, you didn't ask for my help. And then together they put their hands on the rock and began to roll it alongside the road. In faith, we acknowledge that doing things only out of our own strength leaves us falling short. But discovering that our strength, empowered by the hands of God at work in us, allow God's possibilities, God's new beginnings, God's healings and grace. Now again, I say, this doesn't mean we get everything we pray for. It doesn't mean every childless couple gets the gift of the child. It doesn't mean that every sick person gets the healing that someone is praying for. But we're reminded that God keeps God's promises. God is with us. God forgives. God strengthens. God takes care of us. And God works all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Bad things happen in this world, but God never leaves us alone, and even in our struggle, we see opportunities for God's new possibilities. Some of you who've been here on Wednesday nights have heard me talk about a young man and family that I've met very recently. Pearson Timms is a 17-year-old. He and his family live in the Myrtle Beach area. His dad's a pastor, started a little church there that Campbell, the father, says is the weirdest, wackiest, most wonderful little church. Pearson, 17, several weeks back, in the passenger seat of a car, they went through a light, a big Ford truck ran the light and smacked into his door. He probably would not have survived except a doctor who happened to be at the scene. He coded a couple times in the ambulance. They eventually flew him to Duke, and he's been in the ICU at Duke for weeks, several weeks. Because of social media, I know several friends who know this family, and I got connected and went up to Duke to visit with them. The father took me back to introduce me to his son, who opens his eyes and moves some, but isn't really responding. In last couple of days, he started to give some thumbs up and do some things, but there's various broken bones, there's some brain injury. They're still not even sure what full healing might look like, but they continue to pray. But standing there with this father introducing me to his son, Pearson, who at third grade decided he wanted to be a biblical archaeologist, and still was wanting to do that. A young man full of life who lays there being helped to breathe. And this father shares his joy and pride in his son, his grief. I have visited with them several times. He's shared with me some of the journal entries that he's made. Last Sunday was his first Sunday back in the pulpit. He and his wife are kind of trading off. She teaches school a few days a week. He goes for weekends trying to maintain jobs. And I went back, and several of the things we talked about, he included in his sermon last Sunday, his first sermon back as the father of a 17-year-old whose future is very uncertain at this point. And in that sermon, which I watched online, Campbell Timms said, throughout all of this, he has seen the fingerprints of God. Now, they get excited, and every night they post, and when Pearson seems to react to a friend by giving a thumbs up, they're thrilled. They have gotten approved to move him to the Shepherd Center in Atlanta this week as long as insurance buys in, and that is a wonderful thing and near some grandparents. But through it all, still not knowing what the future holds, Campbell stood before his small little congregation last week and told them about how he remembered when Pearson was a child. He would sing each night to him, "He's got the whole world in his hands." And actually, he changed it to say, "God has the whole world in his hands." And then he'd make up his own verses, "God has little baby Pearson in his hands. God's going to have toddler Pearson in his hands. God's going to have teenage Pearson in his hands, and all the way through adulthood. And he talked about how he felt led to sing that song, and the first day he tried, he couldn't quite get all the way past the first verse. But he told his congregation that he stood there and he sang that song, and he believed that even as dark as this valley has been, God has been faithful. God has brought through various friend connections people to be there. He's been visited by friends from different churches in this area who've had connections made. He got word that a priest in the Vatican prayed for Pearson one day. He's seeing God at work through Pearson's friends in a school community. And he stood before his congregation and said, even in the darkest point in my life, I see many evidences of the fingerprints of God. And each night as they put a picture up and give an update, they share a scripture testifying to their faith that God keeps God's promises. Sometimes it works out and we have joyous laughter. In fact, the laughter of Sarah in chapter 18 is transformed by chapter 21, verse 6 of Genesis, where Sarah says, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Sometimes God's answers bring joyous laughter. And sometimes God's promises bring just the amazing and overwhelming reminder that God's fingerprints are very present even in the darkest times. But we are invited to reflect daily. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Nadia Boltz-Weber has said, the Christian faith is really about death and resurrection. It's about how God continues to reach into the graves we dig for ourselves and pull us out, giving us new life in ways both dramatic and small. The Christian faith is about death and resurrection. And I love that phrase. It's about God continuing to reach into the graves we dig for ourselves and pull us out to give us new life. Maybe we need that today, individually, collectively. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Over and over again, Scripture reminds us that God is faithful and God keeps God's promises. Will you pray with me? We thank you, Lord, for the assurance that you have the whole world in your hands. We don't always understand the whys and the whats, but we're thankful for the assurance that you are with us, that you are working all things together for good, that you take care of us even when we feel like we can't take care of ourselves. We offer you our lives, our church, our world. May we continue to see you faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.